Inter-church movements. The work of the Scottish Mission over almost 100 years had led, in October 1945, to the constitution of the Presbyterian Church of Eastern Nigeria, first known as the Presbyterian Church of Biafra, as an independent church working within the World Alliance of Reformed Churches. At that time, those of us who were Church of Scotland ministers formally transferred our ministry to that of the Nigerian Church. There had always been close cooperation with the Anglican and Methodist missions, starting with a committee of missions, an agreement as to the areas in which each of us should concentrate our work. So by the time I was in Hope Waddle, some of my involvement was in joint intermission work, which we hoped would eventually lead to a full church union between the Anglican, Methodist and Presbyterian churches. Following the example which had already taken place in the Church of South India. Although this union was never actually achieved, the first fruits of the cooperation had already led to the setting up of 4 notable united centres: a women's teacher training college, a rural training centre, Trinity Union Theological College, and soon afterwards, the Queen Elizabeth Training Hospital. 3 of these were in Umahia, a progressive town on the Enugu-Port Harcourt Railway, and convenient to the 3 mission areas. At the beginning of 1956, the Presbyterian Church was due to appoint a new staff member to Trinity College, and I was transferred from Hope Waddle. So my last 4 quite challenging but stimulating years in Nigeria were spent in Umahia. Trinity College represented a very significant development, a stage of cooperation which the parent churches in Britain would not have been able to contemplate. In Trinity College, candidates for the ministry of all the 3 churches were trained together, using in turn the liturgies, hymn books and traditions we each were accustomed to. There were 36 students, and at first 1 staff member from each church, and we had to try to cover the full theological course in 3 years. The college was a very pleasant centre. Life was less hectic than in Hope Waddle, as there were fewer distractions, and the contacts with the other missions involving occasional visits to Enugu and Port Harcourt were important and interesting. I served as principal of the college for my second 2 years. Our next big family event was the birth on the 18th of December 1958 in the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Umahia of Roderick John, always to be known as Rory. Settling back in Britain, Claire and I had always agreed that when our children reached school age, we should return to Scotland. But because in Trinity College there were several other staff children which made possible a small school class, we were able to remain until Callum's 7th birthday on the 28th of January 1960. On that day, we finally left Nigeria and were sad to be doing so after 17 years. We particularly regretted leaving in what was to be Nigeria's Year of Independence, an event for which everyone in the country had been training and preparing for so long, and to which we all looked forward with optimism and confidence. Travel between the UK and West Africa had, of course, always normally been by sea, and usually from Liverpool to Takoradi and Lagos, with 1 stop, perhaps at Las Palmas in the Canary Islands or Madeira. The sea voyage, taking about 12 days, was always a pleasant relaxation after the usually hectic weeks at the end of a leave or tour of service. On one occasion, I had travelled in a 6-passenger banana boat from Tico, Victoria, to Liverpool. Another time, in 1951, we were on the maiden voyage of Elder Dempster's latest ship, the MV Oriole. We had driven through to Lagos in our own car, the same Hillman Husky which we had bought new in the UK just a few weeks before Hillary was born, and which we were now taking home for the second time. When we bought it, we were lucky to get it with extras and without the usual delay, because it was an export model, which we were going to take abroad. During the 5 years we had it in Nigeria, it was a great help not having to depend on mission cars any time we needed one. So, with the 3 children and a fair amount of baggage, we drove from Omohia, crossed the Niger on the Onitsha Asaba ferry, there was no bridge then, and had a night at either the Akure rest house or with friends in Ibadan University, before reaching Lagos and embarking on the Winnebar. We had the usual stops on the way, but unusually, this time we sailed right into London, which we reached on Hillary's birthday. Our heavier baggage, including a bed and an orca chest, followed separately by sea freight. We were met in London by Claire's mother, Rita, and then spent a few days with her in Norwich before driving north to Edinburgh. The mission authorities own a number of houses in Edinburgh and elsewhere, which are allocated to missionaries on furlough. And for about 7 months we occupied one of these furlough houses, conveniently close to where my father was living. But then we were able to move to a delightful cottage at Fearnon on Loch Tay, belonging to Claire's Aunt Joan Stewart. For a term, until Christmas 1960, Callum and Hillary were at a little one-teacher school on the shores of Loch Tay. Parish life. Former missionaries are not the immediate first choice of a parish seeking a new minister. But I was eventually called to the parish of Bonnygate in Cooper, the county town of the Kingdom of Fife. We moved into a large and attractive manse, which we gradually furnished through a local auction room, and I was inducted to the charge by the Presbytery of Cooper on the 26th of January 1961. Cooper was a pleasant town, but somewhat overchurched, with 3 Church of Scotland parishes, an Episcopal church, a Roman Catholic church, and a Baptist church. Indeed, by coincidence, our church, Bonnygate Parish Church, stood directly beside St. John's Church, formerly Cooper Free Church, where my grandfather had served his probationary period approaching a century earlier. For 3 of our 8 years there, Claire and I shared a full-time religious education teacher's job at Bell Baxter, the local high school, doing 2 full days a week each. As we were settling into Cooper, Scottish Church's house in Dunblane was being established, with its innovative ecumenical activities, and we became involved in various ways. Claire, in particular, organised a number of prayer retreats, which had not been a familiar kind of Scottish devotion. During our early years in the parish, she also became very closely involved with some care for unsupported young mothers and their babies, including having them living with us in the manse. And this involvement has led to some very long-term family and friendships, which have continued to be active and rewarding. But in time, it became clear that we should move on to a more challenging situation, and if possible, nearer to Edinburgh, where my father was still working and living, and where he had been for nearly 20 years the chaplain to the Astley Ainslie Hospital. On the 26th of February 1969, I was inducted to the East Parish Church, Lone Head, Midlothian, and we soon settled in.